We turn to God's Word this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We expound verse 26 as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord. We're going to begin reading at verse 17 and read through the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made, may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. To that point, we read God's holy and inerrant word. Our text is verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Beloved of God, as we read from the context of verse 26, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is rebuking the Corinthians for their careless participation in the Lord's Supper. Some were coming to the Lord's Supper and getting drunk off of the wine, drinking too much wine. Others were coming and feasting before and during the celebration of the Lord's Supper, bringing all kinds of food with them and turning it into a social event. And those who didn't have any food felt left out. The point is, they were not using the sacrament of the Lord's Supper the way it was instituted to be used, and they were not participating in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper by faith. And therefore, the apostle reminds them of what Christ instituted this sacrament for. I give to you now what the Lord gave to me, how he spoke of this supper. It is to be a spiritual exercise performed in remembrance of him. And then The apostle adds this in our text, verse 26. A part of the spiritual exercise of the Lord's Supper is that as we remember this Christ, we are also to proclaim him, to show forth this Christ whom we are remembering by virtue of the spiritual eating and drinking of the bread and the wine. It's that aspect of participation in the Lord's Supper, an aspect that we probably don't think about very often, that we want to meditate upon for a few moments this morning before we come to the table. Do that under the theme, showing the Lord's death in the supper. 4 points: what, how, who, and when. What does it mean to show the Lord's death as we participate in the Lord's Supper? That will be the largest point this morning. How do we show forth the Lord's death? By taking the Lord's Supper. Who does this? When do we do it? First, what? What does it mean to show the Lord's death as we participate in the Lord's Supper? Verse 26, our text does say that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we show the death of the Lord. The word for show there, the Greek word for show, means to show by declaring, by announcing. It is to publicly make known. If you have a baby that's born, that's a hidden thing. Nobody knows about that until you show it forth, until you declare it, until you make a public announcement. You send out an announcement on cards or by email or by word of mouth. You show forth that this child has been born. That's the idea. You're showing forth the Lord's death till he come. You are, not just the minister. The text is not just speaking about the minister who breaks the bread in front of the congregation or pours out the wine. That's not the only showing forth, announcing of the death of the Lord that's taking place. But you, by participating in the sacrament, are showing forth, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. You, the ones eating and drinking, do proclaim, announce, show forth the Lord's death till he come. The Greek word for show also contains an idea of celebration, joyfully announcing, joyfully showing forth, like when that baby is born, you joyfully declare, show forth what has happened. That same idea here too, a joyful celebration. But we're not announcing, showing forth joyfully the birth of the Lord, but his death. We show forth the Lord's death till he come. Seems kind of strange at first, especially for someone who doesn't know anything about what's going on here. Why would you show forth the death of someone? Why would you keep showing forth, declaring, announcing the death of someone? Maybe you send out an announcement that someone has died once, but why do you keep doing it? You keep taking this Lord's Supper and you keep showing forth, keep announcing this death. Who does that? Who goes around continually announcing someone's death? And who does that in a celebratory way, joyfully? If you announce someone's death, you mourn about it, you're sad about it. But here, we're joyfully announcing the death of the Lord. And how strange. We're joyfully announcing the death of the Lord. The Lord's death. Of the King, of the great King, of the good King, of the pure King, the King whose rule we love and submit to with joy. It's conceivable, I suppose, that you would announce sort of joyfully the death of a Lord who is a tyrant. When Saddam Hussein was taken down, there was a certain celebratory announcing of his death because of who he was, an overlord, a cruel man. But we're proclaiming, we're showing forth, announcing the death of the great King Jesus Christ, a king whom we love, whose rule is perfect and pure and spotless, who loves his subjects. People don't celebrate and continually, repeatedly announce the death of good kings. They lament them. They mourn them. So why have you come here this morning? In part to show forth, to display, to announce joyfully the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the death of this king is no ordinary death. And we respond to it in a way we respond to no other death. This death of this king is a sacrifice for sin, an atonement for the sins of his people once and for all. It is a victorious death, unlike any other death that has ever been. It is a conquering death over curse and hell and sin, over the grave. It is an opening of the way to God and to heavenly glory. This death is the fulfillment of everything that God has promised from the beginning of the age. His death is, Genesis 3, verse 15, accomplished. The promised one has come to crush the head of the serpent, Satan. The death of this king is the death that is the promised fulfillment that Abraham prophesied about when he answered his son Isaac's question on the way up to Mount Moriah. Remember Isaac's question? Father, we have the wood. Father, we have the fire. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham answered, God will provide himself a lamb, my son. And he did, but only in part did he fulfill Abraham's prophecy. He provided a substitute, but it wasn't a lamb, was it? It was a ram. And so left hanging after that over all the old rest of the Old Testament scriptures is the question, when will the promised lamb come? When will he provide the lamb? And it's not until John the Baptist points at the Lord Jesus Christ and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that the picture is fulfilled. The lamb in Isaac's place has come. That's who he is. That's the death of this Lord, God's own Son, dead as a sacrifice for sin. That's why we show forth, that's why we proclaim, that's why we announce in a celebratory fashion repeatedly the death of this King. But now when we proclaim the death of the Lord by taking the Lord's Supper, it's not the same as saying that we are proclaiming a dead Lord. When we proclaim the death of the Lord, it's not the same as saying we proclaim a dead Lord. We're proclaiming the death of a king who died but did not stay dead, but who is now alive. Notice in the text, we proclaim the Lord's death till he come. He died, but he's alive and he's coming back again. That's part of the reason why we're proclaiming his death too, because he didn't stay dead, but he rose into life, and not just regular life, but glorious, advanced life, the life of heaven to come. He's conquered death. He has life within himself to communicate to his people. In proclaiming the death of the Lord, we proclaim the one who conquered death and who now lives forevermore. Death usually ends the lordship of kings. But not for this king. His death only advanced him in lordship, only further established his kingship as he rose again out of that death and ascended into glory at the right hand of God, where he rules over all as Lord. We're celebrating, we're announcing the death of the Lord until He comes. He's alive and is returning. We look back and look forward. His death is significant for past and for future. But that's not even the end of what we're proclaiming. It's showing forth when we show the Lord's death and answering the first question, what? What does this mean? What are we doing? Showing forth the death of the Lord. We're not only showing forth his death as a sacrifice for sin, showing forth his death as a death that conquered death and therefore entered into life. The third, we're showing forth this death as a death that has significance for me. Died for me. That's the announcement. That's the declaration you're making. And he's alive for me, and he rules over all and over my life, and he's returning someday to come for me. The child of God, when he shows forth the Lord's death in the Lord's Supper, is making a personal announcement. Not the birth of somebody else's baby, but my baby, a personal announcement. Not the death of somebody else's Lord, but the death of my Lord for me, who conquered my sin and lives for me. Comes out of your heart and your soul. It helps us understand also to whom we are making this announcement. When you make a public show, a public announcement of something, you're making it to somebody. Who are we making this announcement of the Lord's death to? First of all, out of our own hearts, we're making this public announcement to God as an act of worship to him, as an act of gratitude. He's my Christ, and I see that, and I know that he's from you to me. And by faith, I embrace him, and I worship you for him. I declare to you, O God, that he is sacrificed for me, and I am grateful. We proclaim the Lord's death. We show it forth to the children who are with us here this morning. We're not mature enough to come to that table yet. Dads and moms are proclaiming to their children, grandpas and grandmas, teachers to their students, fellow church members, all of us, to fellow church members. This death of this king is the only thing that matters about this life. And I proclaim to you, little ones, that this is it. And we're here together, and we're announcing to you that as you grow up in this world, and there's all these things out here, this is the heart of it, the death and life of this Lord, this king. I proclaim to you and I call you to come, come to grow, mature, and to come and take this bread and this wine with us one day. You proclaim the Lord's death to each other as encouragement for each other. You show it forth, you announce it. You're saying to each other, we are a body who rely upon the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, for standing before God, for hope in the midst of this world. You comfort each other in your afflictions with this, that you point each other to the blood. Here is where comfort is found. Here is where hope is found. You stir each other up to love and to good works. This grace is where we're strengthened to go forth in service to him. You encourage the brother and sister who feels alone in this world, who goes out during the week, and I'm all by myself living for Christ, but I come back and here together I find my saints with me showing forth the death of Christ, proclaiming to me that they stand with me in service of him, in dependence upon him. You show forth, you proclaim this death of Christ to all the world if they would care to hear. Publicly, before anyone, I am united to this King. I need him, and him alone my hope is found. His death and his life is the heart of my life. This is the what. Showing forth the Lord's death till he come. How? How do we make this proclamation? How do we make this announcement, this showing forth in taking the Lord's Supper? If you announce the birth of a baby, you write something or you speak something. There's words. But you're not doing that here. You don't stand up and give a speech about Christ when you take the Lord's Supper. The text tells us that in this case, we make this announcement totally without words. But only by actions. By the action of eating and by the action of drinking. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. By virtue of eating a piece of bread and drinking a cup of wine, you are making this announcement, this public declaration. That's true because of three things. First, it's true because by eating the bread and drinking of the wine, you are participating in this sacrament that has been instituted for the remembrance of this death and life of Jesus Christ. And participation is proclamation. Participation is acceptance. Participation means you are a part of what is going on here. You're one with what is occurring. It's something for the young people, college students, to remember. I'll just go, but I'm not really a part of it. Participation is proclamation. Participation is acceptance. So too here in the Lord's Supper, we make, by virtue of our participation, we make clear that we're not merely outside observers to these sort of things, but I believe this. I'm part of this. You add your voice to the proclamation of the word concerning Christ's death in your public participation in this meal. If people from work saw you simply sitting in the pew, they could say, well, maybe they're just sort of pressured to be here. Maybe they grew up in this, but they don't. But the eating and the drinking, I'm a part of it. I'm personally a part of it. It's a confession of faith, a public announcement. Second, these actions of eating and drinking are themselves the showing forth, the public profession of this. Because the eating and drinking is not just an external eating of a piece of bread, drinking of a cup of wine. This bread and this wine are symbols here of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the same as eating a piece of bread and drinking some wine at your house, even 10 minutes after this is over. They've been set apart, consecrated to be symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And by participating and eating by faith, not just a piece of bread and a cup of wine, but by eating the very body and blood of Christ, by faith, you're announcing, I'm a part of what's being symbolized here. Third, those actions of eating and drinking are themselves a proclamation, an announcement of Christ's death and all of its significance in life and his coming again, because you do it in response to Christ's own command that you do it. Remember that the worship service is a holy dialogue between God and his people in Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Our help is in the name of Jehovah. And God speaks to you in his law, and you respond and sing. The Lord's Supper is part of this dialogue too, this holy dialogue. And it is God in Jesus Christ himself who is the host of this meal, not me, not the elders. Christ instituted this sacrament, and Christ himself, not the minister, Christ himself says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And because Christ declares that to you, and you respond to his command, and you eat, and you drink, those actions are a declaration. I am under the lordship of this Christ, and I need him, and I respond to his voice, and therefore you're declaring to all the world, I am for him, and what he gives to me is his own death and life, and I take it for myself. I'm declaring that I am a part of him and the body that declares him. That's how, by eating and drinking, you make this proclamation. Who does this eating and drinking in response to Christ's command? Who makes this proclamation by eating and drinking, declaring his death and life and what it is? In the text, it is the believing, faithful members of the church of Corinth. The text says, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show. And the apostle is writing this to the church in Corinth, the congregation in Corinth. You, plural, ye. You, Corinthian church, do eat of this bread and drink of this cup, and you show. The congregation. But not everyone in the congregation in Corinth. There was that man back in chapter 5 who had committed incest. And he was not allowed to participate in the sacrament. The apostle commanded them to apply church discipline to him and to bar him from the table, to deliver him up to Satan. Separate him from this. And then verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11 adds these qualifications. Those who may eat are those who may eat worthily, who lead regular lives of repentance and faith, daily conversion to God, and who are able to examine themselves and to discern the spiritual aspect of this meal, the Lord's body in it. There is a call, therefore, for the elders to guard the table of the Lord, to do all in their power to ensure that those who may eat properly may eat and drink by faith. It's impossible to do without any error. But the calling is there to the elders nonetheless, to hold back in church discipline when there is unrepentance for sin. Those who participate and eat actually make this declaration from their heart, not just eating a piece of bread and wine, but declare together the death of Christ. But it also indicates that word ye and everyone else. That the elders say may come. Come. The Corinthian church was fairly immature. And yet, when repentance and faith come, come. Ye, congregation, come. Not just a few of the old people who think they've had an experience or a vision that allows them to come, but come. When? Often. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Repeatedly. The Lord's Supper is different from baptism. Baptism is once It pictures birth, which is once. The Lord's Supper is often. It pictures nourishment, which is often. The apostle is not setting forth a prescription for how often here. The Bible doesn't do that anywhere. And therefore, there's some freedom in that. But there should be an often, a repetition. The Reformed Church Order says every 2 or 3 months. But repeatedly is the point. Repeatedly, this must keep happening often and all the way until he comes back. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We pronounce this, that his death and his life is the only hope. Until he comes back, we proclaim it to each other. We proclaim it to all the world, to the children, to him in worship. That this is everything over and over again until he returns on the clouds of glory himself personally. Then we don't need to anymore. And then we won't need the encouragement that it gives to each other. Then we won't need to announce it because it's not hidden from anybody. And then he'll come. And he'll set us down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there even this sacrament will find its fulfillment. And we'll eat with him in the new heavens and new earth forever. Come, people of God. Let's proclaim the Lord's death in the supper. Amen. Father, bless this word to our hearing, and may it prepare us to now participate by faith and to proclaim, show forth the death of our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.